This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome to Preserving Our Past on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM. Our past can be identified through whakapapa, ancestry, heritage, and history. On this show, we highlight the tangible parts of the past, or those that we can see and touch. I'm Suzanne Rawson, a cultural materials conservator, and I invite you to join me in a journey of uncovering the stories of the special things in our communities. Namai Harumai, and welcome to Preserving Our Past on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM. My name is Suzanne, and I'm your host. I'm a cultural materials conservator, which means that I work to preserve cultural items that people care about. If you care about it, we care about it. Thank you so much for listening in. In today's episode, I spoke with Taranaki archaeologist Ivan Bruce. And Ivan wears many hats, including through his personal interests playing basketball, and he was past president of the Taranaki Alpine Club. So Ivan and I work together, both being in the heritage professions as colleagues, but also Ivan sits as the chair for Heritage Taranaki Incorporated, which is a local nonprofit dedicated to advocating for preservation of heritage. And I support him as the vice chair. So when I first moved to New Zealand about 7 years ago, Ivan was one of the first professionals that I met. And I interviewed him as part of the doctoral research that I conducted, so I've been really lucky to hear Ivan's great knowledge about history in the region. However, I always learn something new every time I talk to him. So in today's episode, we hear from Ivan about what an archaeologist does and some of the lesser known parts of being an archaeologist in Taranaki. And as you can imagine, Ivan is often what we call in the field and on site at excavations. So I managed to grab a few minutes of his time and sit down for an interview. So the excerpts that you'll hear are pre-recorded, but let's jump into a really fascinating interview. Ivan, you're an archaeologist in the region, and we don't have a lot of those, but you are probably the most well-known.
We don't have enough of those, yes.
Don't have enough of those? You're most well-known having come from Taranaki, and so how long have you been a practicing archaeologist?
Yeah, so I finished my... To be a practicing archaeologist in New Zealand, you really need a master's degree. Mm. So I finished my master's degrees in 2000, the year 2000, and ever since then I've been working as an archaeologist. Started in the far north. I finished my master's degree at Auckland University, and I went straight up to the far north where I didn't spend a lot of time working in forestry archaeology. Doing forestry surveys, and then gradually managed to convince my partner that we needed to go back to home to Taranaki, where I always intended to do, and have been working in Taranaki since 2006.
Wow.
But I've been working in Taranaki prior to that, because even when we were in Auckland, I was still doing bits and pieces down here. Mm. So I was involved in things like the Bellblatt Bypass, the Poakuri excavations, and various other bits and pieces prior to actually permanently moving to New Plymouth.
How does somebody get interested in archaeology? How do you get involved with...
Yeah, good question. You take a series of make a series of life decisions, probably bad ones from a very early age, which kind of funnel you into the job, really. So I was born and bred in New Plymouth, and I grew up in a small farm on the back of Bell Block, and we had... The neighbours had a parsite on it, which I used to have horses and I used to ride all over the farm, and spent a vast amount of time on that parsite and became interested in it. And then just driving around Taranaki as a kid, you know, we used to have cousins that lived in Eltham, and we'd drive around the coast sometimes to, you know, break up the trip to go and visit these cousins, and you'd, sticking your head out the car window being slightly bored, you'd look at particularly the landscape around Opanaki, for example, where you've got the Laharic landscape, you'd realise that some of these hills were all, you know, they were all worked up, and then it crystallises in your consciousness that these are actually parsites. And, you know, par are the sort of dominant, iconic archaeological feature in Taranaki. They're everywhere, and we have one of the highest, densest concentration of par anywhere in the country. And they're an iconic part of our landscape. So I picked up on that at a very young age, and I've been fascinated ever since, which then turned into a greater interest in Māori archaeology, and went to university. And when I was at university, I said, well, I might as well do that. Much to my mother's disappointment, she was hopeful I was going to become a lawyer. And then, I've been fascinated by it ever since. And I've been, fortunate that I've managed to hammer out a career out of it.
What was your thesis topic?
I did work on the Pāti River and the Waingongaroo catchment, and looked at the spatial distribution of archaeological sites in that. It was a very boring thesis, which I can't even read these days because it's so appallingly bad. But it's what you do with thesis, and you sort of set up these straw men. And it was quite cool. I mean, I managed to... Most of my colleagues who were doing their masters at the same time were doing things like going overseas and, doing... excavations in New South Wales or wandering around the desert or maybe working in an offshore island somewhere in Fiji or something, and down a 1 meter square hole in the ground for their entire thesis. But I just got in the car and disappeared into South Taranaki and wandered around archaeological sites, and have really enjoyed it ever since.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's amazing to meet someone else who's really passionate about what they do.
Subsequent to all that, I've also been involved in things like the New Zealand Archaeological Association Upgrade Project, which is and back in 2006, where I actually went and visited just about every archaeological site on record in the district. So as a result of that, I've got probably a better understanding of the archaeological sites in our district than anyone else, because I probably may have visited more of them than anyone else at any one point in time.
Right.
Lucky old me.
So the New Zealand Archaeological Association, that is a national kind of organisation.
Yeah. So the New Zealand Archaeological Association is the oldest, and it's the only long-standing database for archaeological record in the country. So it started off as an amateur organisation back in the 1950s, and ever since then it's kept a database of archaeological sites, which is now online. It's known as ArcSite. But it's incredibly useful because it contains all the archaeological records for the sites over since the 1950s. There's nothing else like it, and every TLA or council organisation throughout the country basically relies on it at some point for its understanding. And my councils may come up with their own plans and bits and pieces, but they're all essentially based on the NZAA data. And the NZAA data is the only stuff that's constantly and continuously updated.
Wow! So, and that's not a government agency. That is
no. It's like most things in New Zealand. All this sort of stuff. It's all run by the NZAA, and it is basically funded by contributions made by professional archaeologists now, and a very small amount of amateur archaeologists that might be logged onto the database.
Right.
We pay to maintain it.
That is fascinating. So tell us about other organisations that you work with other than NZAA.
The main organisation I work with on a day-to-day basis is Heritage New Zealand, Pōhiri Tāonga. They used to be the Historic Places Trust, and they have the statutory organisation, or have the statutory obligation, to administer the Heritage New Zealand Act, which is the piece of legislation that protects archaeological sites in the short term.
Do our archaeological sites need protection?
So the Heritage New Zealand Act 2014 replaces the Historic Places Act, which came about in the 1970s. So 1975, I think, is the first iteration of that Act. And that Act was brought about because there was a broad recognition that, some of our key archaeological sites, they have no protection, and they're being lost, they're being destroyed by development and various other bits and pieces. A really good example of that is the Kapuni pipeline. It went through just about every pass site in North Taranaki, and it's on its route, sort of thing. So that act really gave some protection to archaeological sites, and then the act was, I think there was another iteration in 81 and another one in 93, and they've gradually increased the protections as sites have become more and more threatened, and it's become more and more obvious that they require protection. I think it's worth pointing out, though, that the protection So all archaeological sites are protected, even if they're recorded, and even if you don't know that they're there, they still have protection. So if you find an archaeological site, you can't do anything to it without an authority from Heritage New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So there's blanket protection in the short term, but the purpose of the Act isn't actually necessarily to protect sites forever. It's really there to manage manage, and some people would say to manage their destruction. So that you may actually make an application to Heritage New Zealand to destroy an archaeological site if you have one in the way of development. But there's a process you go through. And that process will require an archaeological assessment. It will require the involvement of archaeologists and iwi to either mitigate the damage that you're potentially going to do as part of your development, or alternatively undertake an excavation and report on it. And that's basically where I come in. That's my role as an archaeologist. And where I've managed to create a career is in that sort of regulatory space, as the archaeologist you go to when you are encountering issues with development.
What a fascinating opportunity to learn more about Ivan and his work in archaeology in Taranaki. We'll end the first segment with the song Range Life by the band Pavement.
Stage was set, and talk becomes slow, but there's one thing I'll never forget. Hey, you gotta pay your dues before you pay the rent. Over the turnstiles and out in the traffic, there's ways of living, it's the way I'm living, right or wrong, it's all that I can do.
Welcome back to Preserving Our Past on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM. In the last segment, we were introduced to Ivan Bruce, a local archaeologist from Taranaki, and we'll pick up the rest of Ivan's interview where we learn about his experience working with material culture and also the dynamics of being a Pakeha archaeologist working with Maori sites. Listen in.
Could you speak to, since we are at our origins a bicultural nation, could you speak to how archaeological sites may differ to our Pakeha communities versus our Maori communities, or how we may view archaeological sites similarly, in that, like, there, we all have a relationship with the land. What's been your professional experience in working with all this amazing material culture that's hiding underneath the soil?
Yeah, so it's a contested space, I think is a good way to put it. Mm. As a Pakeha archaeologist, I'll just step that back briefly. The role of an archaeologist is to study human culture. Mm. And we study human culture through what is left over in the ground. What we can excavate. Mm. So my interest is broad, but my approach is relatively discreet or relatively narrow. Whereas, so I'm interested in what comes out of the ground and what that can tell us about our culture. Maori may have quite different ideas about that. They will have, and they do have, far broader interests. They might be interested in what I do, but they'll also be interested in the cultural and emotional and spiritual aspects of Te Ao Māori and how it works in with that. So that is a difference between an archaeologist working in a say, let's call it a development going on, and potentially the cultural monitor or the iwi monitor working beside me, they have a far broader brief than I do. I'm there to do archaeology and to report on the archaeology and how that, and while I may have an interest in wider things, my brief is quite narrow, whereas, you know, the iwi monitor working with me or cultural monitor working with me will, you know, will have an interest in other things.
So you have people from communities working with you?
Ideally, yes. Mm. I mean, quite often I may do an initial archaeological assessment or a field walkover or site recording, and I'll go and do that by myself, and then my report will end up in front of Tangata Whenua, and they'll but when it comes to actually doing the investigations or archaeological investigations on the ground, these days I invariably have iwi with me, and I far prefer to have iwi with me because they're an excellent insurance policy for me. Is that if things are found and things are significant or things are culturally sensitive, there's someone from iwi with me to say, hey, we need to be careful here, or I need to go back to Marae, I need to talk to people about this, and I've got that support on site, and that's what's really good to have.
Wow, sounds like a really working model that you found to be really successful. And has it changed since you started your studies?
Definitely. Okay. Absolutely. So, and when I started, when I was in the far north, we went off and did forestry archaeology. We recorded sites and bits and pieces. And there was very little iwi input. But as I think the first time that I did an archaeological investigation where there was, you know, a significant amount of iwi input would have been the Belbloc bypass works, the excavations of Te Orapuri and Huiwaka and Kātiri. That was great. And I think that really, so that was about 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, that period. And ever since those incredible archaeological sites were opened up, and, you know, particularly iwi became aware of, you know, what was the potential of these archaeological sites, there's been real enthusiasm for by iwi to be involved, and that's great. And there's been a recognition from the archaeological community that we need to have iwi with us, and there's real value in having iwi with us.
Do you see people from our Māori community moving into an archaeology space, becoming archaeologists, studying archaeology?
I'd like to think so, but probably not, or certainly not enough of it. And there's really good reasons for that. I mean, it's, you have to have a master's degree, or you need to have high qualifications, I suppose. The qualifications can be a barrier for this particular work. Mm. They shouldn't be, but they are. And you don't make enough. It's not a great. Doesn't pay enough. Sorry, everyone. Doesn't pay enough. And the work, can be, it might be contentious. There may be times when, you know, Māori archaeologist from North Taranaki may not be comfortable doing an archaeological investigation in South Taranaki, or vice versa, or from maybe being a Māori archaeologist in certain parts of the country, you're not going to be particularly popular.
Thank you, Ivan, for that fascinating insight into your experience working with our Māori communities in archaeology, which is such a contested space at times, it sounds like. This is the end of our second segment, and we're going to listen to Bitter by the band Shihad, which found its peak of success in the 1980s and 90s, and are described as one of the greatest Kiwi rock bands. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Preserving Our Past on Access Radio Taranaki, 104.4 FM. We appreciate the generous sponsorship of Heritage Preservation and Field Support Solutions, a Taranaki-based conservation studio where we care for heritage materials. If you've listened to the show from the start, you heard that for this episode, we're listening to an interview with Taranaki archaeologist Ivan Bruce. In this last segment, we'll hear about common misconceptions about archaeology and a case study in Ivan's early career.
I just want to ask a final question about misconceptions about archaeologists. Mm. What are some really common ones that you've experienced in your career?
Yeah, well, the first one is that we spend our life in a trench, which is definitely one of them. The other thing is people assume that, you know, they have an archaeological site and they need to contact an archaeologist. And the idea is that the archaeologist wants whatever's in, and they'll take it away for you. And it's, you know, the items and artifacts or archaeological sites are being conserved so that an archaeologist can come along and take it away, and that'll get it off their plate, which is far from the truth. The point of the archaeological site being protected is so it remains protected. You know, that the archaeologist is going to turn up and, you know, and do all the stuff and take it away, and, you know, for free too, by the way, and they're going to store it and look after it for nothing. The point of conservation is that it stays in the ground for future people to look at, with hopefully, you know, bright new ideas and new techniques and new methodologies.
So if there's like a paw site on farming land and private property, there's a feeling that if an archaeologist comes out and investigates it, it somehow then makes it unusable. Or
I think the point I'm making is that there's sometimes a conception out there that there's an archaeological site on a property, and all you need to do is call an archaeologist and get them to dig it up, and then you can do what you like to it.
Right.
And that's really not the point of this at all.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I like to think of the excavation of an archaeological site should really be the last possible, you know, option. It shouldn't be the first option. The best option is to leave things be. And that's a clear misconception in the community, I think.
Geez, yeah. I thought you were going to go with like Indiana Jones or something, and carry a whip.
You went straight
to the.
I think anybody who's met me is going to know that there's there's no Indiana Jones going on out here.
Yeah. Awesome! Thank you so much for your time, Evan. Right. I really appreciate it. It's fun to get to know more about archaeologists because I think it is a very attractive, you know, adventurous field or career for a lot of people, and to actually hear what an archaeologist does is refreshing.
Well, that's the end of our last segment, and we so appreciate hearing from Ivan. The interview was so extensive, I'm actually making this into two shows so that we can hear more from him in our next episode. The last song we'll hear today is by the band 3Ds, and the title is Spooky.
Don't worry. That's our show for this week. Ngā mihi nui, listeners, and thank you so much to our sponsor, HPFS Solutions, for making these stories possible. Please join me next week when we begin a whole new story. To listen to past episodes, visit our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.